Welcome back. You're listening to Your Health Matters, and myself, Paula Sprouse, and Trish Goss, we're talking about dogs this week. And at the beginning of the show, we talked about the different varieties and who was the brightest and who was not, and about dog bones and sleeping in the beds, and we found that to be okay as long as it doesn't interfere with your sleep. We're going to move. We ended the first segment with barking dogs, and the Maltese are quite known for that, which Trish owns. And every time I call her on the phone, I can hear them yapping in the background, so I can attest to that. But we're going to talk about why dogs bark and how to curb the excessive barking, and I'm going to go with you, Trish.
Well, they say barking is one of many forms of vocal communication for dogs. We all know that. People are often pleased that their dog barks because it alerts them to the approach of other people to their home, or it tells them there's something that the dog wants or needs. However, sometimes a dog's barking can be excessive. Because barking serves a variety of functions, you must identify its cause and your dog's motivation for barking before you can treat a barking problem. So what they're saying is, it's good that they bark, but you need to understand why your dog's barking. What
needs they need.
Yeah,
or
what significance
they're trying to
it has.
Say. Because I said before in the first segment that my dog, the way she barks, I know exactly what she wants. I mean, she has different barks for different wants.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
They say each type of barking serves as a distinct function for a dog. And if it's repeatedly rewarded for his barking, in other words, if it gets him what he wants, he can learn to use barking to his benefit. And it says, for example, dogs who successfully bark for attention often go on to bark for other things, like food, play, and walks. For this reason, it is important to train your dog, be quiet on cue so that you can stop his attention-related barking and teach him to do another behavior instead, like sit or down to get what he wants. Many owners can identify why their dog is barking just by hearing the specific barks.
Didn't
as Paula
say that?
Was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. For instance, a dog's bark sounds different when he wants to play as compared to when he wants to come in from the yard. If you want to reduce your dog's barking, it's crucial to determine why he's barking. It will take some time to teach your dog to bark less. Unfortunately, it's not realistic to expect a quick fix or to expect that your dog will stop barking altogether. Would you expect a person to suddenly stop talking altogether? No. So your goal should be to decrease rather than eliminate the amount of barking. Bear in mind that some dogs are more prone to barking than others. In addition, some breeds are known as barkers, Maltese, and it can be harder to decrease barking in individuals of these breeds. And I'm not by all means knocking Maltese. I'm just talking about my dogs specifically.
That's a characteristic.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so dogs can be territorial when they bark, and they're responding to people or dogs or other animals within their territories. Or there can be that alarm barking, which is a bark that gives their owner alarm that there's something, a danger kind of thing coming in. And my dog, you know, she does that territorial barking, but it's like a little yip versus, you know, if it's serious, man, it comes from the gut. So that's my experience with territorial and alarm barking.
Yeah, my dog Georgie, he's a golden retriever, and he has a couple different kind of barks. If there's another animal that comes into the yard, his bark is different from his one that he wants attention, and I've learned to distinguish those barks, and I've learned to reward and not reward. So it's really truly a top thing for these animals. Well, we're going on next to eye care for your dogs. It says man's best friend could use a good eyeballing once in a while. Believe us, your dog won't take it personally. In fact, giving him regular home eye exams will help keep you alert to any tearing, cloudiness, or inflammation that may indicate a health problem. Check out the following ways to help keep your dog's vision sharp and that twinkle in his eyes. It says the initial gaze. Face your dog in a brightly lit area and look into his eyes. They should be clear and bright, and the area around the eyeball should be white. His pupils should be equal in size, and there shouldn't be tearing, discharge, or any crust in the corners of their eyes. A closer look with your thumb. Gently roll down your dog's lower eyelid and look at the lining. It should be pink, not red or white. What to watch out for? The following are signs that something may be wrong with one or both of your dog's eyes. Discharge or crusty gunk, tearing, red or, is that tearing? Tearing. Red or white eyelid linings. Tear-stained fur, closed eye or eyes, cloudiness or change in eye color, visible third eyelid, and unequal pupil sizes. So those are things you really want to watch out for in your dog and maybe have them checked by the vet if you notice any of those problems. It says a clean sweep. A gentle wipe with a damp cotton ball will help to keep your pooch's eyes gunk-free. Wipe outward from the corner of the eye and be careful not to touch his eyeball. You don't want to scratch the cornea. If your dog constantly suffers from runny eyes and discharge, please see your veterinarian. Your pet may have an infection.
Or they might have an allergy.
True. Control the eye fro. Long-haired breeds can get eye damage if their locks aren't tamed. Using scissors with rounded tips, carefully trim the hair around your dog's eyes to keep his vision clear and prevent hairs from poking and scratching. Soaps and topical medications can be major irritants. Make sure to protect your dog's eyes before bathing him or applying ointments or flea control formula. And if you're not comfortable with this, I would suggest a groomer or your veterinarian doing this for you, because you definitely wouldn't want to put your dog's eye out. It says, drive and miss Fluffy. Many a pooch loves the open road and the wind in her fur. But if debris or insects touches her eye, she may suffer pain and a long-lasting injury. It's much safer to drive with the windows only partially down and the doggy's head inside the vehicle. The wind can also dry out your dog's eyes, possibly causing irritation and infection. And I don't know how many times I've passed somebody and their dog's head's just hanging out the window.
I know, my dog
loves
it.
So here's to you.
But it's not supposed to be good for their ears either, so I try to make her stay inside.
So just think about it. You know, if you ever rode down the road and had a bee fly in on you, could you imagine your poor dog getting a bee?
It could happen to us, too.
Yeah. I mean. A bee in their eye. I mean, that would be horrible. It's in the genes. Do a little research and find out if your dog's breed is predisposed toward eye conditions, such as glaucoma or progressive retinal atrophy. Of course, your pet should have his eyes checked on annual vet visits, but give your dog well-researched treat formulated. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You should have your dog's eyes checked annually at your vet visits. And again, if you're not comfortable with trimming your dog's hair around their eyes, have it done at your vet or at a groomer.
Okay.
I guess our next topic would be...
Well, we're going to come to an end here, Trish. So okay. Let's just talk about microchipping real quick, because that's a pretty brief one.
Okay.
And why you would want to do that. I mean, it's all about if your dog runs and gets loose, then if it has a microchip in it, you can take it to the vet and they can read it and have your name and address on it, right?
Mm-hmm. It says, what is microchipping and can it be done to any animal? A needle is used to place a little chip under the animal's skin, usually between the shoulder blades. That chip has a unique number on it that can be picked up and read by a scanner. It can be done to lots of different animals, including horses, dogs, cats, ferrets, and most other mammals. It takes the same amount of time it takes to give an injection. It's just seconds. It takes more time to do the paperwork than to do the implant of the microchip. And no, it doesn't have to be done by a veterinarian, although it's recommended a veterinarian do it.
It's not painful.
It says it's not painful, but they've seen lots of animals not even flinch when it happens. If you're going to a vet to get a microchip done, it's probably going to cost around $50. But if you have it done while you're having other things done, like your regular checkup, then it will probably be a little bit less because you've already paid for the office visit. People also can check with local animal shelters or rescue groups, which often do it for less. So that pretty much wraps that.
Okay, with the microchipping. That's going to pretty much conclude our show for this week. We do have a lot more material that we want to talk about dogs, so I think we'll just save it for next week. If you have any questions about the topics we've talked about today, you can call Trish or myself at Interim Healthcare and Infusion, and we'll talk to you next week.